Coriolanus, or at least the first part of it. That's coming up for us tonight on Skulltoll, so sit back, relax, and enjoy your weekend with us here.
Superfluity, while they were wholesome, we might guess they relieved us humanely, yeah. But they think we are too dear. Yeah. The leanness that afflicts us, the object of our misery, is an inventory to particularize their abundance. Yeah. Our sufferance is a gain to them. Let us revenge this with our pikes ere we become rakes. Yeah. For the gods know, I speak this in hunger for bread, not in thirst for revenge.
Yeah. Would you proceed especially against Caius Martius? Yeah.
Against him first! He's a very dog to the commonalty.
Consider you what services he has done for his country.
Very well. I could be content to give him good report for it, but that he pays himself with being proud.
Nay, but speak not maliciously.
I say unto you, what he had done famously, he did it to that end. Though soft-conscienced men can be content to say it was for his country, he did it to please his mother. And to be partly proud, which he is, even to the altitude of his virtue.
What he cannot help in his nature, you account a vice in him. You must in no way say he is covetous.
If I must not, I need not be barren of accusations. He hath faults with surplus to tire in repetition. What shouts are these? The other side of the sea is risen. Why stay we praying here? To the capital! So, who comes here?
Worthy Menenius Agrippa, one that hath always loved the people.
He's one honest enough. But all the rest were so.
What works, my countrymen in hand? Where go you with bats and clubs? The matter, speak, I pray you.
Our business is not unknown to the Senate. They have had inkling this fortnight what we intend to do, aye, which now we'll show them in deeds. They say poor suitors have strong breaths. They shall know we have strong arms too.
Why, masters, my good friends, mine honest neighbours, will you undo yourselves?
We cannot, sir. We're undone already.
I tell you, friends, most charitable care have the patricians of you. For your wants, your suffering in this dearth, you may as well strike at the heaven with your staves as lift them against the Roman state, whose course will on the way it takes, cracking 10,000 curbs of more strong link asunder than can ever appear in your impediment. For the dearth, the gods, not the patricians, make it. And your knees to them, not arms, must help. Alack, you are transported by calamity thither where more attends you, and you slander the helms of the state who care for you like fathers when you curse them as enemies.
Care for us? so true indeed. They ne'er cared for us yet. Aye. Suffer us to famish. Aye. And their storehouses crammed with grain. Aye. Make edicts for usury to support usurers. Aye. Repeal daily any wholesome act established against the rich. And provide more piercing statutes daily to chain up and restrain the poor. Aye. If the wars eat us not up, they will. And there's all the love they bear us.
Either you must confess yourselves wondrous malicious or be accused of folly. I shall tell you a pretty tale. It may be you have heard it, but since it serves my purpose, I will venture to stale a little more.
I hear it, sir. That you must not think to fob off our disgrace with a tale, but am pleased you deliver.
There was a time when all the body's members rebelled against the belly, thus accused it, that only like a gulf it did remain in the midst of the body, idle and unactive, still cupboarding the viand, never bearing like labor with the rest, where the other instruments did see and hear, devise, instruct, walk, feel, and mutually participate, did minister unto the appetite and affection common of the whole body. The belly answered...
Well, sir, what answer made the belly?
Sir, I shall tell you. With a kind of smile, which ne'er came from the lungs, but even thus... For look you, I may make the belly smile as well as speak. It tauntingly replied to the discontented members, the mutinous parts that envied his receipt, even so most fitly as you malign our senators, for that they are not such as you.
Your belly's answer! What? The kingly crowned head, the vigilant eye, the counsellor heart, the arm our soldier, our steed the leg, the tongue our trumpeter, with other muniments and petty helps in this our fabric, if that they...
What then? For me this fellow speaks. What then? What then?
Should by the cormorant belly be restrained, who is the sink or the body...
Well, what then?
The former agents, if they did complain, what could the belly answer?
I will tell you, if you'll bestow a small of what you have little patience a while... You steer the belly's answer.
Oh, you are long about it.
Note me this, good friend. Your most grave belly was deliberate, not rash like his accusers, and thus answered. True, is it? My incorporate friends, quoth he, that I receive the general food at first, which you do live upon. And fit it is, because I am the storehouse and the shop of the whole body. But if you do remember, I send it through the rivers of your blood, even to the court, the heart, to the seat of the brain, and through the cranks and offices of man, the strongest nerves and small inferior veins. From me receive that natural competency whereby they live. And though that all at once... You, my good friends, this says the belly, mark me.
Aye, sir, well, well.
Your belly.
Though all at once cannot see what I do deliver out to each, yet I can make my audit up, that all from me do back receive the flower of all, and leave me but the bran. What say you to it?
It was an answer. Well, apply you this.
The senators of Rome are this good belly, and you, the mutinous members. For examine their counsels and their cares. Disgest things rightly, touching the weal of the common. You shall find no public benefit which you receive, but it proceeds or comes from them to you, and no way from yourselves. What do you think, you the great toe of this assembly?
I the great toe? Why the great toe?
For that being one of the lowest, basest, poorest of this most wise rebellion. Thou goest foremost. Thou rascal that art worst in blood to run, leadst first to win some vantage. But make you ready your stiff bats and clubs. Rome and her rats are at the point of battle. The one side must have bail.
Must have bread?
Hail, noble Martius.
Thanks.
What's the matter? You dissentious rogues that, rubbing the poor itch of your opinion, make yourselves scabs.
Oh, we have ever your good word.
He that will give good words to thee will flatter beneath abhorring. What would you have, you curs that like nor peace nor war? The one affrights you, the other makes you proud. He that trusts to you, where he should find you lions, finds you hares, where foxes, geese. You are no surer, no, than is the coal of fire upon the ice or hailstone in the sun. Your virtue is to make him worthy whose offense subdues him, and curse that justice did it. Who deserves greatness deserves your hate. And your affections are as sick man's appetite, who desires most that which would increase his evil. He that depends upon your favors swims with fins of lead and hews down oaks with rushes. Hang ye! Trust ye! With every minute you do change your mind and call him noble that was now your hate, him vile that was your garland. What's the matter that in these several places of the city you cry against the noble senate who, under the gods, keep you in awe, which else would feed on one another? What's their seeking?
For corn at their own rates, whereof they say the city is well stored.
Hang 'em!
They say. They'll sit by the fire and presume to know what's done in the capital. Who's like to rise, who thrives and who declines, side factions and give out conjectural marriages, making parties strong and feebling such as stand not in their liking below their cobbled shoes. They say there's grain enough. Would the nobility lay aside their ruth and let me use my sword? I'd make a quarry with thousands of these quartered slaves as high as I could pick my lance.
Nay, these are almost thoroughly persuaded. For though abundantly they lack discretion, yet are they passing cowardly. But I beseech you, what says the other troop?
They are dissolved. Hang 'em. They said they were an hungry, sighed forth proverbs that hunger broke stone walls, that dogs must eat, that meat was made for mouths, that the gods sent not corn for the rich men only. With these shreds they vented their complainings, which being answered, and a petition granted them, a strange one, to break the heart of generosity and make bold power look pale, they threw their caps as they would hang them on the horns of the moon, shouting their emulation.
What is granted them?
5 tribunes to defend their vulgar wisdoms of their own choice. One's Junius Brutus, Sicinius Velutus, and I know not, Steth. The rabble should have first unroofed the city ere so prevailed with me. It will in time win upon power and throw forth greater themes for insurrections arguing.
This is strange.
Go get you home, you fragments!
Where's Caius Martius?
Here. What's the matter?
The news is, sir, the Volsces are in arms.
I am glad on't. Then we shall have means to vent our musty superfluity. See, our best elders.
Martius, 'tis true that you have lately told us. The Volsces are in arms.
They have a leader, Tullus Aufidius, that will put you to it. I sin in envying his nobility, and were I anything but what I am, I would wish me only he.
You have fought together.
Were half to half the world by the ears, and he upon my party, I'd revolt to make only my wars with him. He is a lion that I am proud to hunt.
Then, worthy Martius, attend upon Cominius to these wars.
It is your former promise.
There it is, and I am constant. Titus Lartius, thou shalt see me once more strike at Tullus' face. What? Art thou stiff? Standst out?
No, Caius Martius. I lean upon one crutch and fight with t'other. Stay behind this business.
Oh, true, bread.
Your company to the capital, where I know our greatest friends attend us.
Lead you on. Follow Cominius. We must follow you. Right worthy, you priority.
Noble Martius.
Heads! To your homes, be gone.
Nay, let them follow. The Volsces have much corn. Take these rats thither to gnaw their garners. Worshipful mutineers, your valor puts well forth. Pray, follow!
Was ever man so proud as is this Martius?
He has no equal.
When we were chosen tribunes for the people...
Mount you, his lip and eyes?
Nay, but his taunts.
Oh, being moved, he will not spare to gird the gods.
Bemock the modest moon.
The present wars devour him. He is grown too proud to be so valiant.
Such a nature, tickled with good success, disdains the shadow which he treads on at noon. But I do wonder his insolence can brook to be commanded under Cominius.
Fame, at the which he aims, in whom already he's well graced, cannot better be held nor more attained than by a place below the first. For what miscarries shall be the general's fault, though he performed the utmost of a man. And Gidicentia will then cry out of Martius, oh, if he had borne the business.
Besides, if things go well, opinion that so sticks at Martius shall of his demerits rob Cominius.
Come, half all Cominius' honours are to Martius, though Martius earned them not. And all his faults to Martius shall be honours, though indeed in aught he merit not.
Let's hence and hear how the dispatch is made, and in what fashion, more than his singularity, he goes upon this present action.
Let's along.
So, your opinion is, Aufidius, that they of Rome are entered in our councils and know how we proceed.
Is it not yours?
Whatever have been thought on in this state that could be brought to bodily act ere Rome had circumvention. 'Tis not 4 days gone since I heard thence. These are the words. I think I have the letter here. Yes, here it is. They have pressed a power, but it is not known whether for east or west. The dearth is great, the people mutinous, and it is rumoured Cominius... Marcius, your old enemy, who is of Rome worse hated than of you, and Titus Lartius, a most valiant Roman. These three lead on this preparation whither 'tis bent. Most likely 'tis for you. Consider of it.
Our armies in the field. We never yet made doubt but Rome was ready to answer us.
Nor did you think it folly to keep your great pretenses veiled till when they needs must show themselves, which in the hatching, it seemed, appeared to Rome. By the discovery, we shall be shortened in our aim, which was to take in many towns ere almost Rome should know we were afoot.
Noble Aufidius, take your commission. Hie to your bands. Let us alone to guard Coriolis. If they set down before us for the remove, bring up your army. But I think you'll find they have not prepared for us.
Oh, doubt not that. I speak from certainties. Nay more, some parcels of their power are forth already and only hitherward. I leave your honours. If we and Caius Martius chance to meet, 'tis sworn between us we shall ever strike till one can do no more.
The gods assist you.
And keep your honour safe.
Farewell.
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 I pray you, daughter, sing or express yourself in a more comfortable sort. If my son were my husband, I should freely rejoice in that absence wherein he won honour than in the embracements of his bed where he would show most love. When yet he was but tender-bodied and the only son of my womb, when youth with comeliness plucked all gaze his way, when for a day of king's entreaties a mother should not sell him an hour from her beholding, I, considering how honour would become such a person, that it was no better than picture-like to hang by the wall, if renown made it not stir, was pleased to let him seek danger where he was like to find fame. To a cruel war I sent him, from whence he returned, his brows bound with oak. I tell thee, daughter, I sprang not more in joy at first hearing he was a man-child than now in first seeing he had proved himself a man.
But had he died in the business, madam, how then?
Then his good report should have been my son. I therein would have found issue. Hear me profess sincerely. Had I a dozen sons, each in my love alike, and none less dear than thine and my good Martius, I had rather had 11 die nobly for their country than one voluptuously surfeit out of action.
Madam, the Lady Valeria has come to visit you.
Beseech you, give me leave to retire myself.
Indeed, you shall not. Methinks I hear hither your husband's drum. See him pluck Aufidius down by the hair, as children from a bear, the Volsces shunning him. Methinks I see him stamp thus and call thus. Come on, you cowards! You are got in fear, though you were born in Rome. His bloody brow with his mailed hand then wiping, forth he goes, like to a harvestman that's tasked to mow or all or lose his hire.
His bloody brow! Oh, Jupiter, no blood.
Away, you fool! It more becomes a man than gilt his trophy. The breasts of Hecuba, when she did suckle Hector, looked not lovelier than Hector's forehead when it spit forth blood at Grecian sword contemning. Tell Valeria we are fit to bid her welcome.
Madam, heavens bless my lord from fell Aufidius.
You beat Aufidius head below his knee and tread upon his neck.
My ladies both, good day to you.
Sweet madam.
I am glad to see your ladyship.
How do you both? Oh, you are manifest housekeepers. What are you sewing here? Oh, a fine spot in good faith. How does your little son?
I thank your ladyship well, good madam.
He had rather see the swords and hear a drum than look upon his schoolmaster.
Oh, my word, the father's son. I'll swear 'tis a very pretty boy. Oh, my troth, I looked upon him a Wednesday, half an hour together. Has such a confirmed countenance. I saw him run after a gilded butterfly, and when he caught it, he let it go again, and after it again, and over he comes, and up again, catched it again. Or whether his fall enraged him, or how 'twas, he did so set his teeth and tear it. Oh, I warrant how he mammocked it.
One on's father's mood.
Indeed, la, 'tis a noble child.
A crack, madam.
Oh, come, lay aside your stitchery. I must have you play the idle housewife with me this afternoon.
No, good madam, I will not out of doors.
Not out of doors?
She shall.
Indeed, no, by your patience. I'll not over the threshold till my lord return from the wars.
Fie, you confine yourself most unreasonably. Come, you must go visit the good lady that lies in.
I will wish her speedy strength and visit her with my prayers, but I cannot go thither.
Why, I pray you?
'Tis not to save labour, nor that I want love.
Oh, you would be another Penelope. Yet they say all the yarn she spun in Ulysses' absence did but fill Ithaca full of moths. Oh, come. I would your cambric were sensible as your finger, that you might leave pricking it for pity. Come, you shall go with us.
No, good madam, pardon me. Indeed, I will not forth.
In truth, la, go with me, and I'll tell you excellent news of your husband.
Oh, good madam, there can be none yet.
Verily, I do not jest with you. There came news from him last night.
Indeed, madam.
In earnest, it's true. I heard a senator speak it. Thus it is. The Volsces have an army forth, against whom Cominius the general is gone, with one part of our Roman power. Your lord and Titus Lartius are set down before their city Coriolis. They nothing doubt prevailing, and to make it brief wars. Well, this is true, on mine honour. And so I pray, go with us.
Give me excuse, good madam. I will obey you in everything hereafter.
Let her alone, lady. As she is now, she will but disease our better mirth.
Ah, in troth, I think she would. Fare you well, then. Oh, come, good sweet lady. Prithee, Virginia, turn thy solemnness out of door and go along with us.
No, at a word, madam. Indeed, I must not. I wish you much mirth.
Well, then, farewell.
Yonder comes news. A wager they have met.
My horse to yours now.
'Tis done.
Agreed.
Say, has our general met the enemy?
They lie in view, but have not spoke as yet.
So, the good horse is mine.
I'll buy him of you.
No, I'll nor sell nor give him. Lend you him, I will, for 50 years. Summon the town.
How far off lie these armies?
Within this mile and half.
Then shall we hear their larum and they ours. Now,
Mars, I prithee make us quick in work, that we with smoking swords may march from hence to help our fielded friends. Come, blow thy blast! Tullus Aufidius, is he within your walls?
No! Nor a man that fears you less than he. That's lesser than a little. Hark! Our drums are bringing forth our youth. We'll break our walls rather than they shall pound us up. Our gates, which yet seem shut, we have but pinned with rushes. They'll open of themselves. Hark you, far off! There is Aufidius. List what work he makes amongst your cloven army.
Oh, they are at it.
Their noise be our instruction. Ladders, ho!
They fear us not, but issue forth their city. Now put your shields before your hearts and fight with hearts more proof than shields. Advance, brave Titus. They do disdain us much beyond our thoughts, which makes me sweat with wrath. Come on, my fellows. He that retires, I'll take him for a Volsi, and he shall feel mine edge. The contagion of the south light on you, you shames of Rome, you herd of boils and plagues, plaster you o'er, that you may be abhorred farther than seen, and one infect another against the wind a mile. You souls of geese that bear the shapes of men, how have you run from slaves that apes would beat? Pluto and hell, all hurt behind, backs red and faces pale with flight and agued fear. Mend and charge home, or by the fires of heaven, I'll leave the foe and make my wars on you. Look to it. Come on! If you'll stand fast, we'll beat them to their wives as they us to our trenches. Follow me, so now the gates are open. Now prove good seconds. 'Tis for the followers fortune widens them, not for the flyers. Mark me and do the like!
Foolhardiness. Not I.
Nor I.
See, they've shut him in.
To the pot, I warrant him.
What has become of Marcus?
Slain, sir, doubtless, following the flyers at the very heels. With them he enters, who upon the sudden clap to their gates. He is himself alone to answer all the city.
Oh, noble fellow, who sensibly outdares his senseless sword, and when it bows, stands up. Thou art left, Marcus. A carbuncle entire, as big as thou art, were not so rich a jewel. Thou wast a soldier, even to Cato's wish. Not fierce and terrible only in strokes, but with thy grim looks and the thunder-like percussion of thy sounds, thou madest thine enemies shake as if the world were feverous and did tremble.
Look, sir!
Oh! 'Tis Marcus! Let's stretch him off. We'll make remain alike.
This one I carry to Rome.
Thy this.
The Marinont. I took this silver.
See here, these movers that do prize their hours at a cracked drachma. Cushions, leaden spoons, irons of a doit, doublets that hangmen would bury with those that wore them. These base slaves, ere yet the fight be done, pack up! Down with them. But hark, what noise the general makes. To him! There is the man of my soul's hate, Aufidius, piercing our Romans then. Valiant Titus, take convenient numbers to make good the city, whilst I, with those that have the spirit, will haste to help Cominius.
Worthy sir, thou bleedst. Thy exercise hath been too violent for a second course of fight.
Sir, praise me not. My work hath yet not warmed me. Fare you well. The blood I drop is rather physical than dangerous to me. To Aufidius thus I will appear and fight.
Now the fair goddess Fortune fall deep in love with thee, and her great charms misguide thy opposer's swords. Bold gentleman, prosperity be thy page.
Thy friend no less than those she placeth highest. So, farewell.
Thou worthiest, Marcus. Go, sound thy trumpet in the marketplace. Call thither all the officers of the town, where they shall know our mind. Away!
Breathe you, my friends. Well fought. We are come off like Romans, neither foolish in our stands nor cowardly in retire. Believe me, sirs, we shall be charged again. Whilst we have struck, by interims and conveying gusts, we have heard the charges of our friends. The Roman gods lead their successes as we wish our own, that both our powers, with smiling fronts encountering, may give you thankful sacrifice. Thy news?
The citizens of Coriolis have issued and given to Lartius and to Martius battle. I saw our party to their trenches driven, and then I came away.
Though thou speakest truth, methinks thou speakst not well. How long is it since?
Above an hour, my lord.
'Tis not a mile, briefly. We heard their drums. How couldst thou in a mile confound an hour and bring thy news so late?
But spies of the Volsces held me in chase, that I was forced to wheel 3 or 4 miles about. Else had I, sir, half an hour since brought my report.
Who's yonder that does appear as he were flayed? O gods, he has the stamp of Martius, and I have before time seen him thus.
Come I too late?
The shepherd knows not thunder from a tabor more than I know the sound of Martius' tongue from every meaner man.
Come I too late?
Aye, if you come not in the blood of others, but mantled in your own.
Oh, let me clip ye in arms as sound as when I wooed in heart, as merry as when our nuptial day was done and tapers burnt to bed with.
Flower of warriors. How is't with Titus Lartius?
As with a man busied about decrees, condemning some to death and some to exile, ransoming him or pitying, threatening the other, holding Coriolis in the name of Rome, even like a fawning greyhound in a leash to let him slip at will.
Where is that slave which told me they had beat you to your trenches? Where is he? Call him hither.
Let him alone. He did inform the truth, but for our gentlemen, the common file, a plague, tribunes for them, the mouse ne'er shunned the cat as they did budge from rascals worse than they.
But how prevailed you?
Will the time serve to tell? I do not think. Where is the enemy? Are you lords of the field? If not, why cease you till you are so?
Martius, we have at disadvantage fought and did retire to win our purpose.
How lies their battle? Know you on which side they have placed their men of trust?
As I guess, Martius, their bands in the Varward are the Antiates, of their best trust. O'er them, Ophidius, their very heart of hope.
I do beseech you, by all the battles wherein we have fought, by the blood we have shed together, by the vows we have made to endure friends, that you directly set me against Ophidius and his Antiates, and that you not delay the present, but filling the air with swords advanced and darts, we prove this very hour.
Though I could wish you were conducted to a gentle bath and balms applied to you, yet dare I never deny your asking. Take your choice of those that best can aid your action.
Those are they that most are willing. If any such be here, as it were sin to doubt, that love this painting wherein you see me smeared, if any fear lesser his person than an ill report, if any think brave death outweighs bad life, and that his country's dearer than himself, let him alone, or so many so minded, wave thus to express his disposition and follow Martius! Which of you but is 4 Volsces? None of you but is able to bear against the great Ophidius a shield as hard as his. A certain number, though, thanks to all, must I select. The rest shall bear the business in some other fight as cause will be obeyed. Please you to march, and 4 shall quickly draw out my command, which men are best inclined.
March on, my fellows! Make good this ostentation, and you shall divide in all with us.
So, let the ports be guarded. Keep your duties as I have set them down. If I do send, dispatch those centuries to our aid. The rest will serve for a short holding. If we lose the field, we cannot keep the town.
Fear not our care, sir.
Hence, and shut your gates upon us. Our guide, come. To the Roman camp, conduct us.
I'll fight with none but thee, for I do hate thee worse than a promised breaker. We hate alike. Not Afric owns a serpent. I abhor more than thy fame and envy. Fix thy foot. Let the first badger die the other slave, and the gods doom him after. If I fly, Marcius, hollow me like a hare. Within these 3 hours, Talus, alone, I fought in your Coriolis walls and made what work I pleased. 'Tis not my blood wherein thou seest me masked. For thy revenge, wrench up thy power to the highest. Wert thou the Hector that was the whip of your bragged progeny? Thou shouldst not scape me here! Officious and not valiant Volsces, you have shamed me in your condemned seconds. If I should tell thee o'er this thy day's work, thou'd not believe thy deeds. But I'll report it where senators shall mingle tears with smiles, where great patricians shall attend and shrug, in the end admire, where ladies shall be frighted and gladly quaked hear more, where the dull tribunes that with the fusty plebeians hate thine honors shall say against their hearts, we thank the gods our Rome hath such a soldier. Yet camest thou to a morsel of this feast, having fully dined before.
Oh, General, here is the steed, we the caparison. Hadst thou beheld...
Pray now no more. My mother, who has a charter to extol her blood when she does praise me, grieves me. I have done as you have done. That's what I can. Induced as you have been, that's for my country. He that has but effected his good will hath overtained mine act.
You shall not be the grave of your deserving. Rome must know the value of her own. 'Twere a concealment worse than a theft, no less than a traducement to hide your doings and to silence that which to the spire and top of praises vouched would seem but modest. Therefore I beseech you, in sign of what you are, not to reward what you have done, before our army... Hear me.
I have some wounds upon me, and they smart to hear themselves remembered.
Should they not, well might they fester against ingratitude and tent themselves with death. Of all the horses whereof we obtain good and good store, of all the treasure in this field achieved and city, we render you the tenth, to be ta'en forth before the common distribution at your only choice.
I thank you, General, but cannot make my heart consent to take a bribe to pay my sword. I do refuse it, and stand upon my common part with those that have beheld the doing. May these same instruments which you profane never sound more. When drums and trumpets shall in the field prove flatterers, let courts and cities be made all of false-faced soothing. When steel grows soft as the parasite's silk, let him be made a coverture for the wars. No more, I say! For that I have not washed my nose that bled, or foiled some debile wretch, which without note here's many else have done, you shout me forth in acclamations hyperbolical, as if I loved my little should be dieted in praises sourced with lies.
Too modest are you, more cruel to your good report than grateful to us that give you truly. By your patience, if gainst yourself you be incensed, we'll put you like one that means his proper harm in manacles, then reason safely with you. Therefore, be it known as to us, to all the world, that Caius Martius wears this war's garland. In token of the which, my noble steed, known to the camp, I give him with all his trim belonging. And from this time, for what he did before Coriolis, call him, with all the applause and clamor of the host, Caius Martius Coriolanus. Bear the addition nobly ever.
Caius Martius Coriolanus! Caius Martius Coriolanus!
I will go wash. And when my face is fair, you shall perceive whether I blush or no. Howbeit, I thank you. I mean to stride your steed, and at all times to undercrest your good addition to the fairness of my power.
So to our tent, where, ere we do repose us, we will write to Rome of our success. You, Titus Lartius, must to Coriolis back. Send us to Rome the best with whom we may articulate, for their own good and ours.
I shall, my lord.
The gods begin to mock me. I, that now refused most princely gifts, am bound to beg of my lord general.
Take, 'tis yours. What is't?
I sometime lay here in Coriolis at a poor man's house. He used me kindly. He cried to me. I saw him prisoner. But then Orphidius was within my view, and wrath overwhelmed my pity. I request you to give my poor host freedom.
Oh, well begged. Were he the butcher of my son, he should be free as is the wind. Deliver him, Titus.
Martius, his name?
By Jupiter. Forgot. I am weary. Yea, my memory is tired. Have we no wine here?
Go we to our tent. The blood upon your visage dries. 'Tis time it should be looked to. Come.
The town is tame.
'Twill be delivered back on good condition.
Condition? I would I were a Roman, for I cannot be in a Volsci, be that I am. Condition? What good condition can a treaty find in a part that is at mercy? 5 times, Martius, I have fought with thee. So often hast thou beat me, and wouldst do so, I think, should we encounter as often as we eat. By the elements, if e'er again I meet him beard to beard, he's mine, or I am his. Mine emulation hath not that honour in't it had, for where I thought to crush him in an equal force, true sword to sword, I'll potchet him some way, or wrath or craft may get him.
He's the devil.
Bolder, though not so subtle. My valour's poisoned, with only suffering stained by him, for him shall fly out of itself. Nor sleep, nor sanctuary, being naked sick, nor fane, nor capital, the prayers of priests, nor times of sacrifice, embargements all of fury, shall lift up their rotten privilege and custom against my hate to Martius. Where I find him, were it at home, upon my brother's guard, even there, against the hospitable cannon, would I wash my fierce hand in his heart. Go you to the city. Learn how 'tis held, and what they are that must be hostages for Rome.
Will not you go?
I am attended at the Cypress Grove. I pray you, to south of City Mills, bring me word thither how the world goes, that to the pace of it I may spur on my journey.
I shall, sir.
The augurer tells me we shall have news tonight.
Good or bad?
Not according to the prayer of the people, for they love not Martius.
Nature teaches beasts to know their friends.
Pray you, who does the wolf love?
The lamb.
Aye, to devour him, as the hungry plebeians would the noble Martius.
He is a lamb indeed that bars like a bear.
He's a bear indeed that lives like a lamb. You two are old men. Tell me one thing that I shall ask
well,
you.
Well, sir.
In what enormity is Martius poor in that you two have not in abundance?
He is poor in no one fault. but stored with awe.
Especially in pride.
And topping all others in boasting.
This is strange now. Do you two know how you are censured here in the city? I mean, of us, of the right-hand file, do you?
Why, how are we censured?
Because you talk of pride now. Will you not be angry?
Well, sir.
Why, it's no great matter. For a very little thief of occasion will rob you of a great deal of patience, give your dispositions the reins, and be angry at your pleasures, at the least if you take it as a pleasure to you in being so. You blame Martius for being proud.
We do it not alone, sir.
I know, you can do very little alone, for your helps are many, or else your actions would grow wondrous single. Your abilities are too infant-like for doing much alone. You talk of pride. Oh, that you could turn your eyes toward the napes of your necks and make but an interior survey of your good selves. Oh, that you could.
What then, sir?
Why, then you should discover a brace of unmeriting, proud, violent, testy magistrates, alias fools, as any in Rome. Menenius, you are known well enough, too.
I am known to be a humorous patrician, and one that loves a cup of hot wine with not a drop of allaying Tiber in it.
Said to be something imperfect in favouring the first complaint, hasty and tinder-like upon too trivial motion, one that converses more with the buttock of the night than with the forehead of the morning. What I think I utter and spend my malice in my breath. Meeting two such wheelsmen as you are, I cannot call you Lycurguses. If the drink you give me touch my palate adversely, I make a crooked face at it. I cannot say your worships have delivered the matter well when I find the ass in compound with the major part of your syllables, and though I must be content to bear with those that say you are reverend, grave men, yet they lie deadly that tell you you have good faces. If you see this in the map of my microcosm, follows it that I am known well enough to. What harm can your bison conspicuities glean out of this character if I be known well enough to?
Come, sir, come. We know you well enough.
You know neither me, yourselves, nor anything. You are ambitious for poor knaves' caps and legs. You wear out a good wholesome forenoon in hearing a cause between an orange wife and a faucet seller, and then return the controversy of threepence to a second day of audience. When you are hearing a matter between party and party, if you chance to be pinched with a colic, you make faces like mummers, set up the bloody flag against all patients, and in roaring for a chamber pot, dismiss the controversy, bleeding, the more entangled by your hearing. All the peace you make in their cause is calling both the parties knaves. You are a pair of strange ones.
Come, come. You are well understood to be a perfecter jibber for the table than a necessary benser in the capital.
Our very priests must become mockers if they shall encounter such ridiculous subjects as you are. When you speak best unto the purpose, it is not worth the wagging of your beards, and your beards deserve not so honourable a grave as to stuff a botcher's cushion, or to be entombed in an ass's pack saddle. Yet you must be saying Martius is proud, who, in a cheap estimation, is worth all your predecessors since Deucalion, though peradventure some of the best of them were hereditary hangmen. Good e'en, your worships. More of your conversation would infect my brain, being the herdsman of the beastly plebeians. I will be bold to take my leave of you. How now, my as fair as noble ladies? And the moon, were she earthly no nobler,
Whither do you follow your eyes so fast?
Honorable Menenius, my boy Martius approaches. For the love of Juno, let's go.
Martius coming home?
Aye, worthy Menenius, and with most prosperous approbation.
Take my cap, Jupiter, and I thank thee. Oh, Martius coming home.
Nay, tis true.
Tis true.
Look, here's a letter from him. The state hath another, his wife another, and I think there's one at home for you.
I will make my very house reel tonight. A letter for me?
Yes, certain there's a letter for you. I saw it.
A letter for me? It gives me an estate of 7 years' health, in which time I will make a lip at the physician. The most sovereign prescription in Galen is but empiricutic, and to this preservative of no better report than a horse drench. Is he not wounded? He was wont to come home wounded.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, he is wounded. I thank the gods for it.
So do I, too, if it be not too much. Brings a victory in his pocket. The wounds become him.
On brows. Menenius, he comes a third time home with the oaken garland.
Has he disciplined Aufidius soundly?
Titus Lartius writes they fought together, but Aufidius got off.
And 'twas time for him, too. I'll warrant him that. And he had stayed by him, I would not have been so Phidias. For all the chests in Corioli's and the gold that's in them. Is the Senate possessed of this?
Good ladies, let's go. Yes, yes, yes. The Senate has letters from the general wherein he gives my son the whole name of the war. He has in this action outdone his former deeds doubly.
In troth, there's wondrous things spoke of him.
Wondrous, aye, I warrant you, and not without his true purchasing.
The gods grant them true.
True? How war?
True? I'll be sworn they are true. Where is he wounded? God save your good worships. Martius is coming home. He has more cause to be proud. Where is he wounded?
Either shoulder and either left arm. There will be large cicatrices to show the people when he shall stand for his place. He received in the repulse of Tarquin 7 hurts in the body.
One in the neck, 2 of the thigh. There's 9 that I know.
He had before this last exposition 25 wounds upon him.
Now it's 27. Every gash was an enemy's grave. Hark, the trumpets.
These are the ushers of Martius. Before him he carries noise, and behind him he leaves tears. Death, that dark spirit in his nervy arm doth lie, which being advanced declines, and then men die.
Know, Rome, that all alone Martius did fight within Corioli's gates, where he hath won, with fame, a name to Caius Martius. These in honor follows Coriolanus. Welcome to Rome, renowned Coriolanus.
No more of this. It does offend my heart. Pray now, no more.
Look, sir, your mother.
Oh, you have, I know, petitioned all the gods for my prosperity.
Nay, my good soldier, up, my gentle Martius. Worthy Caius, and by deed achieving honor newly named. What is it? Coriolanus, must I call thee? But, oh, thy wife.
My gracious silence, hail. Wouldst thou have laughed had I come coffined home that weepst to see me triumph? Oh, my dear, such eyes the widows in Corioli's wear and mothers that lack sons.
Now the gods crown thee.
And live you yet. Oh, my sweet lady, pardon.
I know not where to turn. Oh, welcome home, and welcome, General, and your welcome all.
100,000 welcomes. I could weep, and I could laugh. I am light and heavy. Welcome. A curse begin at very root on's heart that is not glad to see thee. You are 3 that Rome should dote on, yet by the faith of men, we have some old crab trees here at home that will not be grafted to your relish. Yet welcome, warriors. We call a nettle but a nettle, and the faults of fools but folly.
Ever right.
Menenius, ever, ever.
Give way there and go on.
Your hand and yours. Ere in our own house I do shade my head, the good patricians must be visited, from whom I have received not only greetings, but with them change of honors.
I have lived to see inherited my very wishes and the buildings of my fancy. Only there's one thing wanting, which I doubt not but our Rome will cast upon thee.
No, good mother. I had rather be their servant in my way than sway with them in theirs.
On to the Capitol.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Diversify your university involvement and experience a new culture today.
Isaac UBC is the world's largest student-run organization that specializes in helping you get an internship or a volunteering opportunity abroad.
With thousands of opportunities in over 127 countries and territories, this is truly an international experience.
Apply today at isaac.ca. That's AIESEC.ca.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate. He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
You're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald. You were listening to Skull Toll. You were listening to Coriolanus. You were listening to the 1623 Shakespeare Company. Thanks for all of that. Next week, we will continue on taking a listen to Coriolanus and having fun with politics for a change, rather than having politics have fun with us. Given that, please have a safe and happy weekend, and enjoy yourselves.